listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.com.
I've entitled this message, "The Reason We're Here." You might be thinking about that, and what I'd like to do is help you with that subject, if I can, this morning. Why are you here? So let's turn in God's Word to the book of Psalms, chapter 29, the first two verses, verse 1 and verse number 2. And here's what the writer says. I'm going to read to you out of the English Standard Version this morning. He said, "Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness." It kind of summarizes what we've been experiencing and participating in this morning in our worship time. Some Christians, maybe you, claim worship is more than singing. Let me say, like making a meal, cleaning the car, helping a neighbor are all acts of worship. Let me put it this way. When these acts are the outgrowth of our love for God and are done to demonstrate that love, they are, can I say it this way? Worshipful. But let me go on. Technically, those acts are not worship. The very purpose of our existence, however, is to worship and to be worshipers. And I might say this morning, that is very, very important. That we grasp that we embrace that, and that we get our hearts around that. Because you and I were created to be a worshiper of God. And while we do things and we express those as acts of worship, they may not actually be worship according to God's word. I want to explain that. If we want to accurately embrace that purpose, the purpose of worship, we need to use precise definitions. So let me give you this definition. Worship is the act of ascribing worth directly to God. Let me say it again. Worship is the act of ascribing worth directly to God. Worshipful acts may do so, and they do indirectly, but not directly. And I hope you can differentiate between the two. When the Bible commands and commends worship as our highest expression, it's not talking about anything other than the direct, intentional, vertical outpouring of adoration. And while that does not have to be set to music, it does have to be direct. It's in its intention toward God. Psalms chapter 29 and the two verses we read defines worship with surgical precision. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. This idea is picked up and is brought forth clearly in 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and again in Psalms chapter 96, to be specific. So worship involves the mind. Worship involves the emotions, our emotions, and will engage in whole person description of worth to the one who is worthy. So worship means that we're going to ascribe glory and honor to God. I'm going somewhere with this morning, and I hope you'll stay with me. Nothing brings glory down in a church, in a gathering like this, as quickly and as powerfully as God's people unashamedly adoring God's Son, Jesus. When we worship Jesus, there's an anointing that begins to settle in on the house. This is not just for a few enthusiasts that sit on the front row. This is for every one of God's people to be fired up and not simply testimony to the personal benefits of believing the gospel, but being passionate about ascribing worth to the God of the Bible. The whole body of believers needs to engage. The whole body of believers worshiping with their whole beings, displaying the only thing that the church has to offer the world. That is honor being ascribed to the God of this universe. You should never be ashamed of your worship. You should never pull back in your worship. Because in so doing, that is, by ascribing greatness to God, you demonstrate to the Lord, the audience of one, the value you put on him. Exodus chapter 33, verse 16 says this, "Is it not in going," or in that is it not in God's going with us, so that we are distinct? This is the story or the meaning behind the children of Israel, which distinguished them from the other nations as they traversed the backside of the desert. And Moses says that this distinguished them from every other people on the face of the earth. That is the glory ascribing to God by the children of Israel. Worship leads to the manifest presence of God. And if you read that account in the book of Exodus clearly, you will see that God showed up not only once, not only twice, but on numerous occasions and demonstrated his power for his people. A few weeks back, I shared with you the difference between the omnipresence of God and the manifest presence of God. So listen to me. God's presence will be irresistibly attractive or shockingly offensive. There's no middle ground. Onlookers are not really responding to you or me. When people gather in this place, as we do, we've come to bring honor and attention and glory to God and not to ourselves. That's our purpose, is to create an atmosphere of glorifying God. A biblical understanding of worship always involves the church, the corporate house. But remember, the church is comprised of individuals in the house. And if we consider ourselves to be active in the house of the Lord, we complement each other as we contribute to the aspect of corporate worship in this place. We long to see God display his glory when we gather. So what I want you to do this morning, this first Sunday of 2023, I want you to consider how you worship. Because as we set our sails in this area and this journey as a people, we can't expect others to fully engage in ascribing worth to God if we're not prepared to doing so ourselves. This is especially true when it comes to training your children in worship. I love to see, don't you, little kids, hands lifted up and worshiping God with and alongside their parents. So make time to prepare your heart for worship this year. And pray for me, your pastor. Pray for the leaders of this house. Pray for this worship team who prepares themselves earnestly each and every week to lead us into the presence of God. Ask God to give you a fresh awareness of who he is, that you might ascribe to him even more the honor that he deserves. Fully expect to meet with the one who is worthy when we come together in corporate worship. And I'm here to tell you, he won't disappoint you. I want to leave with you this morning a challenge, a 2023 challenge. And in your notes, you have it listed out, and then I've got a little segment in your notes section there is, what is your takeaway, or how are you going to apply this to your life? Let me give you these three aspects of a 2023 challenge, and this has to do with setting our sails as a people of worship. So number one, purpose in your heart to be a worshiper. I'm going to grind this out with you a little bit here this morning, so track with me. This involves a decision on your part, an act of your will. You will be a worshiper. I will be a worshiper. So let's come to terms with this thought this morning that we individually choose to be a worshiper of God. That happens way before you gather here as a congregation. Today can be the beginning of an amazing journey for you in 2023 as you open your heart to be a worshiper of God. So purpose, can I say it that way? Purpose to be a worshiper. Choose to be a worshiper. May it be an act of your will. Somehow something has to go off in you right now, in the moment that you're sitting in this house, and you're saying to yourself, I thought that I was a worshiper. But sometimes we drop in and we drop out of that responsibility. So I'm encouraging you to be a purpose, to be a worshiper. And that doesn't only mean when we gather here on the Lord's Day, because a true worshiper is going to worship God 24/7 every day of the week. Doesn't mean that you're going to go through these little forms or acts of worship, but you're going to be in a worshipful mode. So when you get here, the decision you made to be a worshiper is only a follow-through of what you've chosen to do even in a gathering like this. Secondly, prepare your heart
all week long for corporate worship. So that when we gather together as the people of God, the full measure of God's anointing is going to rest upon you. It's already present. Effective corporate worship starts by individual worshipers gathering together. We together bring an element of worship that changes the corporate atmosphere. So what am I saying? Number one, choose to worship. Choose to be a worshiper. And the second thing, this is huge, that you get this, because if you don't, you miss what it's all about. You need to prepare your heart each and every day as a worshiper unto God. The third thing, and this is really pretty important, because it's going to keep you in the saddle, so to speak, as a worshiper. Learn new biblical expressions of worship. David alluded to old people. He's really old. I'm glad he admitted that. Having said that, there's a thing in the Bible, and you know what that is? It talks about, Jesus made it clear, about new wine and old wineskins. Can I explain that a little bit to you? The difference between new and old wineskins is that old wineskins have stretched their leather. And they were made with leather, and they had stretched to their max. And when you put new wine, which has the capability of expanding, if you put that new wine in old wineskins, that expanding wine is going to burst the wineskin. And the wine spills out all over. Old wineskins represent old people, old ways, old thoughts. If you're going to accommodate the new wine of God, the fresh move of God, you've got to recondition your wineskins and liken it to new wineskins so that whatever God does in a fresh way and it begins to expand, your life doesn't burst open. See, that's a problem with us, some of us who've been in the church more than 5 years. We've gotten accustomed to the ways of God, and we become like old wineskins. And God wants to do a new and fresh thing. That's where we need to be very, very careful that we're able to expand with God. So part of that is learning new biblical expressions of worship. By the way, you have never yet discovered every aspect of worship that God has for us. None of us have. You could be a Christian. I've been a Christian for 1,000 years. I still am discovering and learning new ways to worship God, new biblical ways to worship God. And I want to challenge you in 2023 to learn new biblical expressions of worship. Your worship needs to be fresh, and your worship needs to be real. Just for a minute, think about your eating habits. If all you ate were pizzas for breakfast, pizzas for lunch, pizzas for dinner. You might like pizzas, but I'm here to tell you, after a while, this is going to get a little boring. After a few months, you're going to wonder if there's any other food on the planet that you can eat. How many know there are thousands of new recipes out there that you may never have yet tried? And that's the same thing with your worship. See, you've gotten into a little rut when it comes to worship. Can I tell you what a rut is? A rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. Graves are intended for dead people. God wants to keep you fresh in your worship. He doesn't want you to get in a rut when it comes to worship. So for some of you lifting your hands, maybe lifting two hands above your shoulders is a big deal. By the end of January, some of you are going to lift two hands way above your heads. That's going to be a stretch. Some of you are going to learn, according to the Bible, what it's like to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Some of you are going to learn to express your worship in the dance. Whoa, did somebody say dance? Well, read your Bible. Talks about dancing before the Lord, making a joyful noise, honoring God in worship. So here's what I'd like you to do. Ask yourself, have I arrived in worship? And then ask God to help you to be creative in your worship unto the Lord, so that your worship is not boring and heartless. It's fresh and new, and a new offering unto God. Every one of us needs to cultivate fresh, new offerings of worship to God. So I'm going to give you a little assignment here, is go through the book of Psalms. And David, who is the arch worshiper of the Bible, has penned most of the Psalms. These Psalms contain the heart and soul of our worship unto God. Church, do you want to be a worshiper? Choose. Make the decision. Leading up to learning new expressions of exalting God. Authentic worship begins with anticipation. You know, when I get here, you don't know this, but Sunday morning, I don't know what you're doing, but I'm here usually at 6:30 in the morning. You could be in bed still. I'm here. And I'm pacing around this place, and I'm anticipating what God wants to do in your heart and in your life. I'm hoping and I'm expecting that maybe you are anticipating something fresh from God when you walk through the doors of this building. You see, authentic worship means that we come in with an expectation, an anticipation that God wants to do something, not only in our lives individually, but in us corporately. How many could be a little excited if in the atmosphere of worship, the glory of God falls down? Now, we've had a measure of that this morning. And some people are set free, and they are rid of their vices. God does amazing things in an atmosphere of worship. So prepare your hearts. I want to encourage you to prepare your minds to worship God. Authentic worship is rooted not only in anticipation, but in ascription as well. That means worshiping God for who He is and what He does. Psalmist said, ascribe worship to the Lord. So I want to say, let's begin 2023 by turning the corner with our worship. Not only corporately, but how many can see that means individually? For some of you, when the worship service begins, that may mean leaving your seat and getting here near the front. I've seen enough worship services where young people come and flood the room, flood the front part of the church just to worship and get closer to the worship team and the atmosphere of worship, and not staying on the fringes, but all in when it comes to worship. It might mean leaving your seat and moving out. That might be one of the new ways that God may prod you into being an extreme worshiper of Him. You're not going to offend me if you dance before the Lord. You're not going to offend me if you clap before the Lord or if you shout before the Lord. God's looking for true worshipers. Those that would worship Him in spirit and in truth. Do you know what that means? Spirit-filled worship is worshiping God as we sense the anointing of God falling on our hearts. Our spirits are united and connected with God, who is the Spirit. That's worshiping God in spirit. Worshiping God in truth is worshiping Him according to the Bible, because the Scripture contains the elements of worship. And if you want to know what true, godly, heavenly worship looks like, read the Bible, particularly the Psalms, for it'll unfold to you heartfelt worship. Give you a glimpse of what heavenly worship looks like. Come on, stand to your feet, would you? This worship team has a worship song they want to lead you in. Come on, move your hands just a little bit past your shoulders and get them up there. And let's exalt Jesus together.
Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see.
here's the deal. I want you, as you walk out of this place, three things. Choose to be a worshiper. You've already demonstrated some of that, but I want to see that in continuance. Number two, preparation, preparation, preparation. That means all week long, you're going to be engaged in worship. You're going to be listening to worship. Your heart's going to be in tune with worship songs. Worship songs aren't going to be foreign to you. You're going to know them before you get here. They're going to be all of what your life is all about. Preparation, preparation, preparation. Your home. If I show up into your house, you're listening to worship music, right? That's the way it is. And then finally, you're going to be so excited about worship. It's like my wife, who in her spare time likes to read cookbooks. All week long, you're going to learn new ways. But what's behind that? Of course, she just likes to cook different foods. You don't want the same old grilled cheese sandwich over and over and over. I mean, no, there's more to life than grilled cheese sandwiches. Church, come on. So you're going to be in God's Word, particularly the Psalms, learning new ways to exalt Jesus. Because worship's to you not going to be boring anymore. You're going to explore. Your mind's going to go every direction. Your heart's going to burst in the presence of God. When you do that individually, and your neighbor's done that, and your other neighbor's done that, can you believe that the walls are going to blow out of this place? Come on, let's close by applauding Jesus and honoring him today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our next corporate time together is Saturday. And I need to say this because you might be in a rut of your thinking. Remember what I told you a rut is? It's a grave with the ends knocked out. So don't go there. When we do this on Saturday at 6 to be exact, we fill the room with worship. We get excited about Jesus. We engage in intensive spiritual warfare, and we intercede on behalf of. You can be a part of that. Saturday at 6 o'clock. Next Sunday night at 6 o'clock. Because our prayer time is not just about beseeching God. It's about engaging the presence of God in worship, in intercession. So join us Saturday. God bless you. Have an amazing first week in 2023.
Listening to the Cornerstone Church Weekly Podcast. You can find us online at cornerstoneaberdeen.org.